This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Suzanne Williamson, and with me, as always, is...
Zachary Frueling.
Well, depending on how quickly I can get this episode edited, it might be dropping on Valentine's Day, so what do you say we talk about some romance in Voyager?
I don't know what you think about this, Suzanne, but I like to think of Voyager as the most romantic of the Star Trek series. Do you concur with that?
I guess you could say that. I mean, TNG had plenty of romance, and so did Deep Space Nine. But yeah.
In preparing for the episode, I put together a pretty impressive list of romance on Voyager. Much more than I thought there was, actually, before I started working on the list.
Well, I saw your list when you were halfway through with it, and it was missing something very, very important. And I'm glad, looking at it now, that you did not neglect that one episode.
You mean the most important episode was not top of mind, which is, what are you referring to?
It involves making headboards and bathtubs, so I think you know which episode I'm talking about.
It must be Resolutions.
It must be. It always must be. If you're thinking about romance on Voyager, nothing is better than Chakotay building things for Catherine.
It's interesting you say that, because that is actually not my go-to romantic Voyager episode. Mine is Someone to Watch Over Me.
I knew you were going to say that. I absolutely knew you were going to say
that. How did you know that?
Because you love that episode.
I do. I absolutely love that episode. You're right.
It is a good episode, but romance-wise, it just doesn't do it for me. I think it's because of the lobster being torn apart.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Lobster on the face kind of takes away some of the atmosphere. I think I like the musical part of it.
You do like when they sing.
The Doctor and Seven singing together. Yeah, I do. That gets me every time.
I still say nothing's better than the bathtub. But to each their own.
So I guess when we're talking about romance on Voyager, we need to talk about romance in what sense? Are we talking like real romance, like genuine romantic relationships? Because we have those in Voyager. You know, we've got Tom and B'Elanna.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe is the most romantic couple in all of Star Trek.
The most realistic couple in all of Star Trek, I would say.
Right. Then there are a lot of romantic moments. I haven't tried to count the number of romantic moments in Voyager compared to Next Generation or Deep Space Nine. There's an awful lot of alien romance in Voyager, I think, compared to other Star Trek series. It might even rival Captain Kirk in the original series.
There are a lot of alien visitors on Voyager that like to stay over, if you will.
Some Star Trek series are known for the bad guy of the week. Voyager is known for the alien romance of the week.
I was going to go with alien hookup, but yeah, I'll take alien romance too.
Well, you know, that's what I mean. Romance in what sense, right?
Yeah. I thought you were more along the lines of romance in actual real flesh and blood people or with holograms, because we get plenty of that too.
Holograms count.
Holograms are people too.
Holograms are people too, yes. Well, when I started preparing, I tried to come up with a list of the most romantic episodes in Voyager, and I had trouble with that because there aren't that many purely romantic episodes. I think maybe we talked about them already. Resolutions is romantic. Someone Watch Over Me is romantic. I would classify those episodes as romantic episodes. Then there are a bunch of episodes that have romantic moments, romantic themes, but not really a romantic episode per se. They're just moments. And then there are an awful lot of alien romances. I had more fun with that list, honestly, but... which aspect of romance in Voyager do you find most interesting?
Going back to it, with romantic episodes, you have to throw in the Q and the Gray. Because, I mean, there's romance all over that episode coming from Q. Unwanted romance, mind you, but still.
Just because Q puts a bunch of red hearts on Captain Janeway's bed?
And a puppy. Don't forget the puppy.
And a puppy. And there's a puppy in it. Okay.
Yes.
And then there are also the bad romances in Voyager. There are like, you know, the alien romances that are deceptive or manipulative, that are not real romances, but are kind of romantic, but they kind of go south because something's wrong.
Yes, there are plenty.
There are a few of those as well.
Kashyyyk.
Kashyyyk is a great example of that, exactly. But you think Q and the Gray is would count as a romantic episode? I could see that.
Definitely, it's a romantic episode.
I would have to extend my view just a little bit. But
because we have Chakotay getting jealous of Q's advances on Catherine. We have Lady Q showing up, so we have other jealousy going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's...
See, I would put that one in the category of, like, it's a caricature of romance, right? It's not... There's no real romance with Q. It's kind of, you know, he's
trying
his
best.
Using all the romantic stereotypes, and if that's his best, he's not very good at it.
He's just not as practiced as you are, Zachary. That's all.
Oh, thanks, Suzanne.
So should we stick more with romantic moments instead of episodes? We'll have more to cover.
I guess that's my point, that there aren't that many purely romantic episodes, even though I think Voyager is probably the most romantic series in all of Star Trek. There are a lot of episodes with romantic moments, but really we're talking about moments. We're not really talking about whole episodes that are romantic. You can count those on one hand.
Honestly, you don't tune into Star Trek to watch romance, do you? No, it's an added bonus here and there, but that's not the reason you tune in.
That's not the only reason. It's a reason. It can be a reason. Who are you to tell me what my reason
is? It's not the main reason, is what I'm saying. It is not the main reason you watch Star Trek.
No, that's true. It's true. It's a relatively small part of it. That's true.
Just an added bonus here and there.
I'll give it a number. It's like 20%.
That's pretty high.
You were thinking more like 2%.
I was going to say 5 to be optimistic.
Okay. We'll call it 10 and split the difference. Okay.
That works.
We'll take it to 11. How about that? Romance on Voyager, it goes to 11. So which kind of romantic moments on Voyager do you find most interesting? Because we have a lot of pairings on Voyager. We've got Janeway and Chakotay.
Yay.
Everyone knows where we stand on that. Chakotay and Seven. Boo.
Boo.
Everyone knows where we stand on that. We have Tom and B'Elanna. Thumbs up.
Yay.
Everyone knows where we stand on that. We have Kes and Neelix.
Creepy.
Yeah, mixed feelings about Kes and Neelix. Exactly. We have an alternate timeline with Tom and Kes, which I find remarkably charming.
Not so much, but...
No, you don't like that one? Okay. The Doctor and Seven.
Yay.
The best missed opportunity in all of Star Trek.
Definitely.
Yay, exactly. Thumbs up. And we have Harry Kim and almost everyone that fails. Yeah. Harry Kim and the Delaney sisters, Harry Kim and Libby. Harry doesn't have a lot of luck in that department.
Yeah. Poor Harry.
So... And then there are all these other moments with all of our favorite characters and the aliens of the week, which can be remarkably charming as well. So we can spend a little time talking about our favorite pairings, our favorite moments in those pairings, or our favorite alien romance of the week.
Well, even though I don't like the pairing, seeing Chakotay and holographic Chakotay and Seven was kind of nice. If I take out the fact that it's Chakotay, that was pretty romantic.
That's a really good point, Suzanne. We need to clarify, because when we're talking about Chakotay and Seven, some of the best romantic scenes are not actually with Chakotay. They're with hologram Chakotay.
Yes. I would like to meet hologram Chakotay. He seems nice.
You want a date with holographic Chakotay, okay.
If I had a holodeck, you know I'd be programming that in right now.
But despite the fact that you don't like Chakotay and Seven in general, you think mm-hmm. those scenes are...
They're very romantic, very sweet.
Yeah.
If I just can remove the fact that it's Chakotay.
And it's fun to watch Seven develop to the point where she's entertaining the notion of a romantic relationship. You know, she's so rigid and so non-emotional yes. when she first, you know, when we first encounter her. And it's an interesting development to see her warming up to other types of human interactions.
Well, it's definitely because the doctors pushed her in that direction.
Yeah, she largely has the doctor to thank for that. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think it's a missed opportunity. They didn't do that with the doctor. It would have
yes.
been a much more natural fit. I think when fans look at Chakotay and Seven, they go, why? It just doesn't make sense. There's no chemistry, even given the strength of those hologram scenes or holodeck scenes. I just think there's no real chemistry there. And with the doctor and Seven is a really unlikely pairing, but they have great chemistry when they flirt, like in Someone to Watch Over Me. It's what I love mm-hmm. about that episode. That, you know, every moment they have together on screen, they're a natural fit.
Yeah, that would have been so
great.
Yeah,
they help each other grow. So of these different pairings, mm-hmm. Janeway / Chakotay, Chakotay / Seven, Tom / B'Elanna, I'm recapping here.
Okay.
Kes / Neelix, Tom / Kes in the alternate timeline, Doctor / Seven, and which of those have your favorite romantic moments? Not necessarily the pairing, but which moments?
Oh.
I know, okay, it's really hard.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Favorite romantic moment? Janeway
yes.
Chakotay, the midnight sale. Oh. Perfection, champagne, midnight sale, just the two of them. Hello.
And I love they don't actually show it. They just show them going, you know, leaving her ready room, going to the
That's what makes it so great
sale.
Because your imagination can take it anywhere. And believe me, mine has. And I wrote a few stories about it. And I've read a lot of stories about it.
Wait. Does this really count? It's your favorite romantic moment between Janeway and Chakotay, but it's not actually shown. It's implied, but it's still your favorite moment.
So are you trying to say it didn't actually happen because it happened?
No, a lot of the best things in Voyager never actually happened, right? So many alternate timelines and things get unwritten and whatever. Right?
Scrafotay. Yes. Scruffy Chakotay. Scrafotay.
Wait, how did you say it?
Scrafotay.
Scrafotay?
Scruffy Chakotay from Year of Hell never actually happened.
Scruffy Chakotay. That's right. So Janeway Chakotay, Midnight Sail, even though it never was actually shown, it's just implied, yes. is your absolute favorite moment.
Absolute favorite. Okay. What is your absolute favorite, if that's not it?
Okay, quick clarification on the question, Suzanne.
Yes.
Is this a favorite moment amongst the pairings, amongst romantic pairings?
Amongst the characters you just listed. During
not
the
necessarily
recap.
In general, because they're all they're alien romance of the week. We're not talking about those. We're yeah. talking about among our core characters.
Yes.
I think for me, it would have to be the moment in Someone to Watch Over Me where Seven is on the date with Lieutenant Chapman, and that date kind of goes south. You know, she mm-hmm. sprains his arm or whatever she does. She hurts him, and she's feeling despondent. Like, she thinks she ruined it. She's not any good at this. And the doctor consoles her, and they end up dancing and having a wonderful moment in the holodeck together. I think that would be my kind of, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay. Well, that's not what I had picked in my head that I thought you were going to say.
Ooh, what did you think I was going to say?
I thought for sure you were going to go with Tom and B'Elanna out in space during Day of Honor, where they're starting to lose consciousness.
No.
And B'Elanna's like, I love you. Come on, that's kind of romantic. They're about to die, and she finally admits how she feels.
I guess, you know, I don't think good romance needs to have a near-death scene associated with it.
When it involves a Klingon, it does.
Only when it involves a Klingon.
Yes.
Okay.
They're very passionate people.
Yeah, that's why you read Shakespeare in the original Klingon. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, for some reason... You would think that would be high on the list, but that scene kind of falls flat for me for some reason. I don't It's hard to characterize why, because it is kind of a romantic scene. They're about to die. Mm-hmm. They're floating in space. They're running out of oxygen. They're confessing their feelings for each other. But something about it just kind of makes me go, eh. I don't know why. That scene, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, and when you're looking for romance, you don't want to end up with eh.
Right, exactly. You want something a little more upbeat than that.
Okay, so you want upbeat.
Okay, if it's not the Doctor and Seven dancing in the holodeck, it's mm-hmm. definitely the Doctor and Seven singing You Are My Sunshine. Okay, that's probably a better moment, actually. I will
You're replace amending.
my earlier choice with It's officially now You Are My Sunshine.
Okay, so still same episode, just different scene.
Yes. It's definitely still Someone to Watch Over Me. That's my go-to. Like I said, that's my go-to episode.
Okay.
Do we have a favorite moment for each of these, though? Okay, so we talked about Janeway Chakotay. That's your favorite in general moment. Yes. But ipso facto, it's your favorite Janeway Chakotay moment.
Yes.
We talked about your Chakotay 7 moment, even mm-hmm. though you're lukewarm on Chakotay. Not even lukewarm. You hate Chakotay 7, but you love their holographic moments.
As long as I can take Chakotay out of the picture and it's just some random dude.
Oh, it would be better if you replaced Chakotay with someone else. Okay.
Yes. Replace him with Michael Sullivan. That would make sense. There we go.
Okay. I have to say, even though we weren't talking about the other romances, we were talking about our core characters, Fairhaven is really high on my list. I think, I love Janeway and Michael Sullivan, as you know. And I think Fairhaven is high on my romantic episodes list, if only because of them.
Now see, okay, if we're going with Janeway and someone else other than Chakotay, it has to be Kashyyyk. Come on, at least he was her intellectual equal. Michael Sullivan, she had to manipulate and do all kinds of things. Kashyyyk was awesome. He was slimy, but he was awesome.
I'm torn because there are two different types of romances here. We've got a genuine romance mm-hmm. that doesn't have anything really wrong with it per se, and then we've got, you know, the romance with the Kashyyyk type romance where it seems romantic, but really it's manipulative and it's not what it seems. So it's not a real romance. So I don't think of that as like a real romance. I think of Janeway / Michael Sullivan as more of
but
a real romance.
You could actually put Janeway as the Kashyyyk character when you pair her with Michael Sullivan, because she is manipulating him and changing him.
So Kashyyyk is to Janeway as Janeway is to Michael Sullivan.
Yes. There you go. That'll be on the next SAT exam. Everyone pay attention.
Right. So do you count those quasi-romantic / not quite genuine romantic romances as actual romances? Should we consider those as romantic episodes or romantic scenes because they're not genuine?
I think we can because, I mean, it still happens on the screen, whether it's genuine for both people or not. There's still mm-hmm. a little bit of romance going on. Now, you could go
okay.
a different direction where it is romantic for both people, like the Doctor and Dinara Pell in Life Signs.
Yes. See, I would put that more in the – that's a genuine romance.
That
right? that's
is not, genuine, yes.
So for me, that outweighs Kashyyyk 100-fold.
Oh, me too. But we're talking about the Doctor there, not Janeway.
Well, let's keep going down our list. So we've talked about Tom and Bwana a little bit. Mm-hmm. I presume your favorite Tom Bwana moment is floating in space since you mentioned it.
No. For Tom and B'Elanna romance, it's not really something we see on screen. It's finding out that B'Elanna gave Tom a television set as a gift. And we found that out, I believe, in Memorial. And that's just sweet right there. That's so sweet.
Okay, that is really awesome because there are different types of, how to put it, there are different love languages. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows this, right? People speak different love languages. And one of the love languages is getting a gift. And I think that B'Elanna getting Tom a television set conveys that she truly understands who he is and
exactly.
what he will love. And she goes out of her way to think of something that she doesn't care about at all, but she knows he will love. Mm-hmm. And it says so much about how she feels about him.
And how well she knows him. It's that to me is romantic.
And of course, Tom immediately loses himself in the television.
It included a remote control, which is sweet. Because looking at the TV that he got, it didn't look like it would have come with a remote because it was like a giant console-looking thing.
Yeah, she took the time to engineer a remote control for a 1950s television set.
Yeah.
Yes. Lots of thought went into that. So good job, B'Elanna. Okay, I wouldn't have anticipated that. So that's good. Well, let's keep going down the list. How about Kes and Neelix?
I don't really have one for them. And that's that. I feel bad about that, but I just, I don't have, yeah.
Yeah, the best part of the romance is when it ended.
That was the best because they just didn't, they didn't belong together. Both great characters, they just, they did not together.
Enough said about Cass and Neelix, apparently.
Well, did you not have one for them? Aha, so we're in agreement.
I'm thinking, I'm trying really hard to think of one. I can't think of one.
So we do agree, haha.
Kick me off the network. I'm a bad Voyager podcaster. I can't think of one.
Okay, so skipping Kes and Neelix, I guess that leaves us with Tom and Alternative Kes, or Alternative Tom and Alternative Kes, or however you want to call them.
Yeah, I don't know if they, if I can pinpoint a favorite moment. Mm-hmm. I just think it's charming that Kes is aging. You know, she's essentially elderly at this point, and Tom is still clearly in love with her. Like, you know, physical appearance doesn't matter to him. Age doesn't matter to him anymore. And he, I don't know. Maybe it falls a little flat for you. It doesn't for me. I think it's charming and totally works. But
yeah, I was more focused on what else was going on in that episode as opposed to them.
Yeah, I just think it just came across that he still cared about her and loved her and found her attractive and lots of other things, even given that she's aging much, much faster than him. So I don't know if it's a moment. It's just, you know, his overall demeanor towards it works for me.
Okay. Well, does that leave anybody in our core group?
There aren't really any other core romances, right? We haven't missed anyone.
Oh, whoa, yeah. Yeah, we did.
Oh, who'd we miss?
Oh, Seska.
No, Seska. Is Seska a core character? Really?
For the first two seasons, yes, she was.
She didn't make the cast photos.
She wasn't a bridge officer. I'm going to guess that's why she didn't make the cast photos.
Okay, that's true. So you're thinking Seska and Chakotay.
Yes.
Right.
Even though, yeah. I did not like it, but that's still a
core.
This
doesn't fall in the genuine romance category, right?
Oh, heck no. She's a Cardassian.
This is a Kashyyyk romance. I love that Kashyyyk has become our prototypical, you know, stereotypical typification of a bad romance.
Yes. Of course, now Lady Gaga's Bad Romance is playing in my head.
Was there a good Seska Chakotay moment that you can think of?
No, there wasn't.
I guess it was kind of a romance. I don't know.
Eh.
If you're stealing someone's DNA, that may not count as a real romance, right?
It could. Yeah, probably not, though.
If there's any romance, I'm going to sing, you know, Lady Gaga Bad Romance song to. This is definitely a Lady Gaga bad romance, yes. So I have to admit, I have more fun with alien romances than with the core character romances. I think they're just more fun. You can go down the list and let me just give a quick overview and we can kind of talk about whichever ones we want. But I'm going to read my list because I think this is fascinating.
You're so happy about your list.
Which we talked about. I am. I'm proud of this because it's way longer list than I thought. So Janeway and Kashyyyk. Mm-hmm. Harry Kim and Darren Tall in The Disease. Harry Kim and Udonna in Prime Factors, which is kind of a romance. Yeah, to kind of stretch a little bit to get it in there. Yeah. Janeway and Goth in Prime, also in Prime Factors.
Oh, no. Not creepy, dude.
Yeah, right? No, let me go. Neelix and Cherega, the Klingon in Prophecy. Neelix and Dexa in Homestead.
Okay.
Tuvok and Nos in Gravity. We have B'Elanna and Dothan in Memories, Janeway and Jaffin in Workforce,
ugh.
Seven of Nine in Axum in Unimatrix Zero. Okay, this is not really an alien romance, but I kind of snuck it in there because it's more of like a one-off. Tom Paris and Rainn Robinson in Future's End. She's not an alien, but, you know, they're from different time periods, so, you know, by extension. Fake Tom and Fake B'Elanna in Course Oblivion.
Aww.
Right, they're aliens. Yeah, they're aliens. Chakotay and Valerie Archer from Species 8472 in The Flesh. Chakotay and Kellen in Unforgettable. Tuvok and Mirena in Alter Ego. The Doctor and Dinara Pell in Life Signs. And Voyager even has its own romance from these space-dwelling life forms in Elogium.
You forgot Chakotay and...
Yeah, I knew this was thorough. I knew, not exhaustive, but thorough. But
The Borg lady. Riley Frazier.
Oh, yeah.
You forgot Chakotay and Riley Frazier.
Add that to the list. That's a pretty impressive list, I think. I think this is more alien romance than you get in most other Star Trek series. What do you think?
I don't know. Riker made the rounds in Next Gen.
Is Riker's list equal to this list?
I think
we need to do a comparison.
I think Riker's list is much longer.
Well, that's true. So Riker's list, well, I guess that's my question. Riker's list is longer than any one of these characters' lists, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But is Riker's list equal to the sum of all the Voyager alien romances? It might be.
Is Riker's list as good? Probably not.
No, probably not. These are probably much more interesting than Riker's list, actually.
Yeah.
Riker's a little more Kirkian in that regard.
Is that a word? It is now.
It is now. I guess my point is there are some genuine romances here in the alien romances, and Riker is, I don't know if Riker has any genuine romances in his alien romance. He has a couple, maybe.
Well, definitely in that list that you just gave would be Doctor and Dinara Pell. Hands down. Genuine romance.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's go through these. Which of these are genuine romances? Janeway and Kashyyyk, not a genuine romance.
No, not at all.
Harry Kim and Darren Tall.
Yes, genuine.
Definitely a genuine romance.
Yes.
Okay. Harry Kim and Udonna. We don't know enough. It doesn't develop. It's just a, they go on a date, right? We don't even get that.
Harry tried. We'll give him that. He tried.
How about Janeway and Goth? I think that's a little hard to categorize.
Oh, creepy dude. No. Creepy dude. He was just using her for new things.
Oh, yeah. And he was incapable of actual feeling, right?
Yeah. So. And he was creepy.
Right. Okay. And he was creepy. Yes. Yes. Okay, so not a genuine romance. Neelix and Chiraga.
Possibly. I think it possibly
may not be a romance. They definitely had passion on their side, but it may not have developed into a romance.
It was lust, not romance.
It might have developed. If Chiraga had stayed on Voyager, maybe it would develop that way, but it didn't. They didn't get the chance to.
Yeah.
Neelix and Dexa. Definitely genuine romance. Neelix leaves Voyager for Dexa.
And
what's her son's name?
Brax?
Brax?
I want to say Prax. It's Brax.
Brax? Brax?
No.
Not Prax.
That's Prax. Brax with a B, I think.
I think you're right. So definitely a genuine romance. Neelix leaves Voyager for Dexa and Brax And they turn into a family.
Yeah, I can't believe Neelix left.
I would say that's one of the best romances in all of Star Trek. You know, I mean, how often do you see a main character leave the show because of a romance?
They just didn't want to take him back to Earth. I think that's what it was. They're like, let's find him a woman, drop him on an asteroid. There you go.
Well, he could have got a job cooking at Cisco's or something.
He was, boning up on his... American cooking.
Earth cuisine.
Out. Yes.
Right. Okay. How about Tuvok and Nos? I would say genuine romance. It didn't really develop, but it was genuine.
It was genuine.
Nothing not genuine about that.
It was genuine. And Tuvok fought it as well he could.
Yeah. It just didn't get time to develop for one reason or another, but it was genuine, I'd say.
Yes, definitely.
Now, it's not really B'Elanna, because it's not really her. Mm-hmm. It's more of a memory, but B'Elanna and Dathan.
I'm going to say not genuine. Because it's not her.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even really B'Elanna, right? It's romantic. There's some romantic, passionate scenes, but it's not really her, so it doesn't count. Janeway and Jaffin in Workforce.
Definitely not.
Again, not really Janeway. It is Janeway, but it's not Janeway.
It is because
she can't remember who she is.
No. Mm-mm.
Not genuine. Okay. Nope. 7 of 9 in Axum.
Definitely genuine. Zero.
Genuine or not?
Definitely genuine.
Definitely genuine. Okay. We have a 2 thumbs up on the genuineness in the Unimatrix. Okay. Tom Paris and Rainn Robinson.
Nothing happened.
Yeah. Again, it didn't. It was genuine, but it didn't really develop. So is it really a romance? It could have been.
It was flirtation.
I still think it would have been fun for Sarah Silverman to come on Voyager.
That would have been awesome.
I think that's a huge missed opportunity. That would have been awesome. Yeah. I don't really care for her comedy so much. She's a little vulgar for me, but
that character
was awesome, and it would have been great. Yeah. Do you? Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
You know how much of a potty mouth I have.
I know, and yet we have our own little comedic banter so well, and it's so funny that our instincts are so different in that regard.
Yep.
I'm the straight man to your Sarah Silverman. Got it.
No, not on this show. I can't curse that much.
One day
I will be able to curse that much.
The line will be redrawn. Yes. And you will be able to curse this much on a podcast. Just wait, listeners. One day. Okay, so how about fake Tom and fake B'Elanna in Course Oblivion? The Silver Blood B'Elanna and Silver Blood Tom.
Definitely genuine and so sad.
Sad. They come to an untimely end, you know. Okay, so genuine, even though they're fake. That's odd. It's genuine, even though it's not really them. That's Voyager's weird that way. It's weird as part of the job, right?
Exactly.
In Voyager. Chakotay and Valerie Archer.
No.
Fake Valerie Archer. We don't even know if Valerie Archer is a real person. Species 8472. See, I think this is genuine.
No.
Now, it's not at first, because Species 8472 is planning a war on the Federation, but...
And also, Chakotay was just there for information, so, you know, it wasn't really...
At first. Yeah. But by the end, they're ready to plan a second date.
No, I don't think so. After he saw her, you know, give her that shot in her leg, and it kind of did that lizard thing, I think that turned him off.
Oh, okay. We actually disagree on this one. I would put this one in the genuine category.
He's like, lizard person, maybe not.
Chakotay doesn't mind. He's not prejudiced. Okay. I'm glad we disagree on one, because generally we're both giving two thumbs up or two thumbs down here. I give a thumbs up, Chakotay and fake Valerie Archer. We don't even know if Valerie Archer is a real person, right? Right. We presumably it's based on someone.
I'm going to guess that she is, because, you know, they had Booth be there.
Right, exactly. So I was thinking they, you know, went through the Federation's personnel files and made themselves in the image of real people. But I could be mistaken about that. I hadn't thought about it.
I'm going to go with that, too.
Okay. So, like I said, thumbs up from me, thumbs down from you. Mm-hmm. Chakotay and Kellen in Unforgettable. I got to give this a thumbs up.
I was going to go thumbs down.
Really? We disagree on this one, too?
Yes, because how do we know she wasn't manipulating him to begin with, since she can make everybody's, you know, memories of her disappear? If she has that ability, she could also be manipulating him into thinking, yes, you like me.
Kellen is kind of like that character Derulio from the Orville.
Yeah.
With the pheromones.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Is that genuine or not? Because those factors matter, right? You know, pheromones affect people's romantic sensibilities. That's not fake, right? Just because something like that's going on doesn't mean that it's fake.
But no, but it's manipulative. Therefore falling into the Kashyyyk category.
By the end of the episode, is it manipulative?
I think so. It was manipulative the whole time.
Chemistry, and they seem to I don't know. I think there's a genuine something there, but okay, so we disagree on this one as well. This is great. Tuvok and Mirena in Alter Ego. Does this even count as romance? I
don't know. No, it counts as a stalker.
Yes. Okay, you're right. Mirena's a stalker. It doesn't count.
She was. Right? And then poor Harry was collateral damage in that episode.
Yeah, like twice over.
Yeah.
She wasn't that into him in the first place. And then, of course, she's manipulating Tuvok. So
she's just not that into you.
She's just not that into Harry, yeah. Okay, so no, definitely two thumbs down on Tuvok and Mirena.
Yeah.
The Doctor and Dinara Pell, two thumbs up.
Way up. If I had more thumbs, there would be more thumbs. I love them together. Yeah. They are just the cutest and so sweet.
I know. Why do they do that? They introduce something so wonderful, and then it's just a one-off and it goes away. I'm glad they brought her back.
I was going to say, she was on that second time on Resolutions.
Yeah, but, you know, with on-screen chemistry that great, you want to make that a recurring character.
Yeah.
You know?
That was so good.
Maybe that's why maybe the fact that they didn't do that is why we feel that way. And maybe if they had done that, we wouldn't be so ooh-ah over it. But, yeah. Okay, two thumbs up on the Doctor and Dinara Pell.
Yes.
And how about Voyager's piece of the action in Elogium?
Oh, but Voyager loses its sex appeal by the end.
Yes. Is that possible?
I guess it is.
And then there's the one you mentioned that I had forgotten, Chakotay and Riley Frazier.
Definitely not. She was just using him.
Yep. Two thumbs down. I'm glad we disagreed on a couple, but generally we agree. But there are quite a few genuine romances here.
Oh, definitely.
You have any favorites? Which of these do you like the best? The Doctor and D'Narrapel is super high on the list.
That is my absolute favorite.
Okay, let's get down into the B-grade one. There are the A-grade ones, like the Doctor and D'Narrapel, two thumbs up.
Okay.
We've got Neelix and Dexa, two thumbs up. Let's get rid of those.
Okay.
The B-grade ones. Which ones are your favorite B-grade ones?
Seven and Axum.
It's interesting that one actually falls a little flat for me, too. I don't find it super memorable, even though I love it and I appreciate it. But it's not high on my list. I would go Tom Paris and Rainn Robinson.
Well, I do like that they continue Axum in the books. So we do get more Axum.
Hashtag read the books. Yes. Yep. I like Harry Kim and Darren Tall.
Okay.
I think they're super cute together.
That, and it's nice to see Harry thrown a bone once in a while.
Yeah, once in a great while. Tuvok and Nos.
I know, that's one of your favorites, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I love everything about it.
Janeway and Kashyyyk. And I feel naughty for saying that, but...
That is naughty of you, Susan.
Something about Kashyyyk. It's just like...
He's slimy.
I know. It's like, I like you, but I hate you.
He's suave, but he's like slimy suave.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Well, definitely more than Jaffin, because Jaffin is just bleh. He's wishy-washy, just meh.
But he's cultured. He knows his Mahler. But I'm sure if he replicated dinner, it'd be a great dinner.
Yes.
But there's something about him that just, yeah, no, I got to disagree with you on this one. If it had been genuine, I might say, yeah, there's a lot there.
Well, it wasn't genuine for either of them. They were both manipulative.
Why does that make it on your list, then?
I don't know. It just does. There was something about it that I liked, even though my mind is like, no, Janeway Chakotay, nothing else is acceptable. I don't know why I liked it.
Yeah, I got to say, I'll go for Janeway and Michael Sullivan, too. I know you hate that. I know you hate everything about that.
But makes my skin crawl.
They just want to sit on the bench and read poetry together, and it's cute.
That's only after she manipulated his programming.
She had to reprogram him to do it.
She built a Chakotay imposter.
So let me ask you another question, Suzanne. Circling back to what we were talking about at the very beginning of the episode, whether Voyager is the most romantic series or not. Let's scratch that question. It's a little hard to answer. Of all the scenes in Voyager, compared to all the specific romantic scenes in all the other Star Trek series, does Voyager have the most romantic scene compared to any other Star Trek series scene?
Oh, gosh. That's a hard one.
Like, what? I know, because you have to rack all of your Star Trek knowledge here to answer this.
Oh, because no, my brain immediately goes to Nurse Chapel and Spock, because... That's my original.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my! Don't you speak poorly of Nurse Chapel. I will hurt you.
No, no, no. I'm not bad-mouthing at all. It surprised me because I didn't think of it, and it just startled me a little
that's,
bit.
I'm
not criticizing it. Yeah.
I love that. So, yeah, oh, gosh. I can't say that one is better than the other because they both have their good points and bad points. Yeah, just...
Like, we could go down the list. Like, do you have a favorite romantic scene from The Next Generation?
Yes. Although I...
Oh, you do? Okay, what is it? You do, clearly, I can tell. Okay.
Well, Attached. Come on. I'm a Picard crusher shipper. And Attached. I screamed at my television. I know I did. Yeah.
I might have to put Wesley and Robin Loeffler high on my list from The Next Generation.
How did I know you were going to bring up Robin Loeffler? Okay, so we hit TOS, we hit TNG. How about Deep Space Nine?
Boy, I have to really think about this one. Romantic moments in Deep Space Nine. Doesn't roll off the tongue, does it?
No, it does not. It does not.
Are you a fan of Odo and Kira?
Yes, I am. I really am.
Neutral on it. They have some great moments, but not... Overall, it kind of falls a little flat for me, but they have some great moments.
I like them. More so than other couples on.
I can tell, yeah. Are you just, you're gushing about some of this stuff. See, you're more romantic than you let on, Suzanne.
No, I'm not. Don't insult me in such a manner.
Well, in Deep Space Nine, we've also have Sisko and Cassidy Yates. Mm-hmm. I think they're a charming, realistic couple. But I don't think of anything like super romantic about them. So
no. But they were just a good couple.
So I can't think of anything in Deep Space Nine that is as romantic as what I see in Voyager. But
yeah.
Maybe it's just not coming to mind right now. How about the original series? You mentioned Spock and Nurse Chapel.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about you? I said something. Who's yours from the original series?
Well, there's Kirk and Edith Keeler.
Oh, that's just tragic. That's heart-wrenching.
It's, yeah, and that's, see, no, we're changing genres again. We have comedy, we've got romance, and we've got tragedy. that's a little more of a Shakespearean tragedy, isn't it?
We will not be reined in by rules.
Yeah, so I got to say, I still have to go Voyager on this one. Like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head in the original series that comes even close. But Enterprise? There's Trip and T'Pol. They've got their moments.
On Enterprise, it would have to be Archer and Erica Hernandez. Hands down.
The rock climbing scenes you're talking about.
Yes, yes. But I mean,
are those romantic scenes? I guess they're romantic.
Yeah, there was kissing involved. There was kissing.
Okay, sure. So okay, let's compare now. Is that if that's the best Enterprise has for mm-hmm. romance, how does it stack up against Voyager?
No, Voyager.
Yeah, clearly, I think we got to go Voyager on this one.
Well, you know, only because we didn't get over me any day. We didn't get much more of Captain Hernandez. I would have liked a whole lot more. Right, and that's
with a lot of these things, there are missed opportunities that they should have, you know, if they'd gone there a little more, maybe we would go there more. But right. And let's bring it home. How about Discovery?
Oh. Discovery makes me sad.
Well, that definitely has its, you know, almost mature rating on some of the scenes.
On Discovery, hands down, it's Stamets and Culber.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. There's very little that compares with the teeth brushing scene.
Yeah, well, that's just modern. That's just normal everyday life. But even just they're different interactions once Culber's dead. Spoiler, if you didn't know.
Oh, okay. You're thinking, sure. So you're thinking post-death.
Yeah. There's scenes, just right. So many okay. little nuggets of, it's, yeah, it's good.
I got to say, the teeth brushing scene, just the everydayness of it, mm-hmm. you know, just the life as it's lived aspect of it is, that might rival anything in Voyager. That, of everything we've mentioned, that's the one that I kind of go, that's getting really close to romantic scenes. Just because of its everydayness, you know, that's that kind of thing is life. So, yeah.
So that overranks the television set gift.
I'm not sure if it outranks the Doctor and Seven singing Someone to Watch Over Me.
Nothing outranks that in your mind.
Yeah, but it may be a close second. I would say, yeah, this is an interesting quote-unquote discovery. I would go from Voyager immediately to Discovery in terms of romantic scenes. That's interesting to discover. So.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Well, it's been fun talking about romance on Voyager for Valentine's Day, but this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
And again, the Kelvins, they're enjoyable to me, but I'm so thrilled I don't have to hang, you know, whatever the need was for them in 2006, that's been 13 years ago. I mean, talk about water under the bridge and how much things have changed. The way the world looked, media and Star Trek land looked in 2006, and what the emotion and the vibe and all that was is completely different now, and these movies are a holdover from that, and that's fine. But our Star Trek world does not depend on them.
Earl Grey.
It's nice that she gets some revenge at the end because they reverse the whole connection to find them, right? But at the same time, that doesn't, like, the ends do not justify the means.
Literary Treks.
But Tilly feels she's failed. And I think when you're at that age, failure feels almost like it's going to annihilate you, because you're still quite fragile. Your sense of self is still quite fragile. That if something goes wrong, you think it's the end of the world. And in fact, it's only the secret, of course, being a grown-up, is that when things go wrong, you still feel like it's the end of the world, but you kind of pick yourself up a bit more quickly. But Tilly hasn't had those experiences. It's always been success.
The Orb.
On top of that, the Ferengi going to the Mirror Universe gives us the opportunity to kind of explore one last time the character of Quark in a way where we are able to see how he's grown.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party podcast apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode, and there are many ways for you to share your thoughts with us. The best place to join in the larger conversation with us is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Well, speaking of contact information, Suzanne, when you're not busy programming your own Unimatrix, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the TrekFM network?
Can I put Chakotay in that Unimatrix?
It's your Unimatrix.
Woohoo! Sure. Multiple Chakotays.
There are no rules here.
Multiple. Well, you can find me popping up every now and again in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8.
Wait, was that Unimatrices?
I don't know.
You got one for Chakotay, one for Axum, one for... Okay.
No. It would just be all Chakotay all the time. Nobody else.
Got it.
And Zachary, when you're not trying to find someone to sing a duet of You Are My Sunshine, where can our listeners find you on the internet and around the network?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of Metatrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me in there, and you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G.
If you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. All available through our special patrons website, The Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
There are a few individuals we'd like to thank from around the network. We'd like to thank C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, and the biggest Robin Loeffler fan I know. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Mutala, our Patreon manager. And a special thank you and shout out to our five associate producers here on To the Journey. We'd like to thank Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you so much for your support of To the Journey and Trek FM.
Well, join us next time where we're going to do a cover of Lady Gaga's Bad Romance. But until then, this has been To the Journey.